And yet some people seal a reputation. They seal a reputation not just for life, but for long after they've died. If I asked you to name me two famous lovers, who would you say? Bonnie and Clyde. Great opener, thank you. Any more? Romeo and Juliet, yeah, of course. Posh and Bex I had last night, I take it. The one I thought of was Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor. They were married to each other three different times. And Burton allegedly said this about her, and I love it. Have a look at this quote. I might run from her for 1,000 years, but she is still my baby child. Our love is so furious that we burn each other out. Imagine. Imagine feeling that passionate about anyone. I read it and I began to... I thought, I wonder if there are any of my exes out there. Might be feeling that sort of passion about me. It's unlikely to be the girl that I went out with for the longest. I went out with someone for 10 years and on our first date together, I pissed the bed. And I tried to blame her. That is true. You know what? And it panicked me. I thought, well, am I leaving any legacy of passion behind me? Will anyone think? So I started going back through people I've dated, and then I was in Bristol. Anyone from Bristol here? Well done. Well done for dressing yourselves. I was walking through Bristol and I heard that accent. I said, what are we doing? I'm going down shops then, are we? And it reminded me, I remember something. And it was a date. And I thought, this is the passionate story I can tell everyone. It was a date that I got set up on. My friend was going out with someone and he invited me down to Bristol to meet her. They were going to have a dinner party for me, lovely. And when I got there, they'd invited her sister along as well. And I thought, nah, there, this is a setup. I hate it. I hate being set up. But she was really sweet and she was really pretty. And I thought, why not? So I was chatting to her over dinner and she had a very light Bristol accent. That's it. How long are you down for then, Greg? Just the weekend. You're going to make a weekend of it, are you? That's nice. And I thought, oh, she seems sweet. And then she started to drink very heavily. She was necking glasses of wine, like, and her accent started to get a bit, that's it, we're having a nice time now, aren't we? We had a few, and I thought, oh, you've changed. But I carried on making polite chat, and I went, what do you do? She goes, I work in a shop, don't I? And I went, all right, that's not all I do. I went, no, she goes, no, at the weekends, I'm a hammer thrower. And I went, you're not a hammer thrower. And they went, no, she is. She is a hammer thrower. And she's really excellent. And I went, oh, right. As I was looking at them, she grabbed my hand. Bam! She put it on her thigh. Fuck me. It was like a tree trunk. And I went, oh. And I looked at her, and she was waiting for my gaze. And she went, yeah. Now you believe I'm a hammer thrower, don't you? And I thought, oh. Oh, I'm frightened of you. Because you've changed. And I could see in her eyes, obviously riddled with cataracts, that she fancied a bounce on this. So I started to panic. And the fear went through the roof when she excused herself and went to the toilet. Because that girl had walked in perfectly normally. But now, it was like watching a fucking silverback. She was like, ooh. I turned to my friend, I know what's going on here. You're setting me up with this girl. Well, I'm not interested. And they went, oh, she's good as gold. She's harmless. I said, she's not harmless. She could take a fucking buffalo down. From the toilet. That's it. All finished then. All shaken off. At one point, I was chatting in the kitchen and she ran past the hallway. I think she was just showing off. And she ran into a room and we heard smash! There'd been a full-length mirror against the wall. She ran in, she hit it, she horribly cut her hands open and she was spraying blood around the room. I'm hurt! And I went, oh my God, we've got to get her to hospital. And they went, oh, she's always doing things like this when she's drunk. And my friend got some toilet roll and he just filled her hands until she had two horrible, bloody, soggy cricket balls of gore in her hand. Then he got some sellotape. He just wrapped them like this until she had two transparent, blooded stumps. I thought, well, it's going to slow her down at least. Oh, no, it fucking didn't. If anything, the lobster claws made her more determined. That's it, we can have a little... we can have a dance then! Those two arseholes went to bed, leaving me on my own with old fucking lobster claws. I thought, that's it, I'm running away. I went to the front door. I was just going to run into the fields. I opened the front door. It was snowing. It was chucking. It was a snowstorm. And I went, ah. And then behind me, I heard the footsteps. Oh my God! What? It's snowing! And she ran into the snow. And I watched her disappear. And I thought, yeah. I think she may bleed to death tonight. And I think I'm going to let her. And I felt guilty and I followed her out. It was easy to find her. I followed the trail of blood in the snow. It was like a scene from Fargo. And when I got there, it was quite sweet. She was playing in the snow. I went, please come in. She went, oh, you come get me. I went, yes. Yes, I did. I'm worried about you. Please come in. She went, I'm not going anywhere. Not until you give me a little kiss. And I went, oh. And I just gave her a peck. And she just whipped her face round. And even in that second, I got to find out that even her tongue was muscular. Being pistol whipped by a dry eel. And then I talked her into coming in. She went to the toilet. As soon as she got to the toilet, I ran upstairs. I went to the first empty bedroom I could find. I got onto the duvet and I tried to make myself flat. She was gone for ages. With the wisdom of hindsight, I think she'd been for a shit and realised there was no toilet paper. And I lay there, motionless. And then I heard the footsteps again. Under the duvet. She started ferreting around and the duvet came away from my face, and that's when I realised for the first time that the whole ceiling in that place was one mirror. It was. I saw myself revealed and the duvet fell away. And I was tired and I was exhausted and I lost the will to fight. And the last thing I saw that night, ladies and gentlemen, reflected in the ceiling, was my own flaccid penis being masturbated by two blooded stumps. I guess what I'm saying is, not all love stories are going to go down in history, are they?
Stream Greg Davies, You Magnificent Beast, only on Netflix.